and I apologize, have not really preached on missions enough. You know, we're to preach the whole counsel of God, and that includes missions. Missions is very, very important, as we'll see. Turn with me, if you would, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 in the book of Philippians. And that's where we'll be studying tonight. Chapter 4 of Philippians. There's only four chapters. If there was a chapter 14, I've got the wrong Bible. Someone's really added to the Word of God. Amen. But chapter 4 of Philippians, in verse number 14, we'll begin reading there. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling, of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I just, again, thank you for the King James Bible tonight, for your perfect word. I just pray that you bless our time as we study this very important Bible doctrine about mission and mission giving. Father, bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What we see in the verses that we read, I read just now, is it deals with Paul's past ministry and the help that he received from the Philippians. In verse 15, it says, the beginning of the gospel. This refers to, if we were to turn to Acts chapter 16, when he first preached to them the gospel, to the Philippians. And by the way, the church at Philippi is in the region called Macedonia. I know some of you have Bible maps in your Bible, and that's where the Philippians or the church at Philippi was in Macedonia. So Paul established the Philippian church on his second missionary journey. That's what Paul was. Paul was a missionary. He was a church planter. He got churches started, and then he would move on. Just as that's what our missionaries do that we support here and abroad. We see the Philippian church loved Paul very much and supported his ministry and showed their love toward him, not only in his words and word, not only by praying, but in deed also. In fact, they would what the Philippians were what Paul what the Epistle of James tells us. James told us to be not only hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. So the church at Philippi, the Philippians were not only hearers of the word, but they were also doers of the word. Paul tells us about this in verse 15. It says, and following, it says in verse 15 and halfway through it, it says, no church, Paul says, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So Paul's talking about No other church communicated with Paul the Apostle, except the church, the Philippian church, which is in Macedonia. They're the only ones that provided for his needs. And it said in verse 16, he was in Thessalonica with the Thessalonians ministering to the people there, and he had need there not only once. It says that the Philippians sent to him to meet his needs, but again, twice they did this. In verse 15, we notice it connects, it has the word no church Communicated. Communicated. We see that word communicated. In verse 15, communicating, when we think of communicating today, we think of talking back and forth to one another, to one another, communicating. But we see in the context that it's used here that it's connected with giving, giving and receiving. Paul's giving and receiving at the hands of the Philippians, believers at Philippi. In Galatians chapter 6, if you would turn there, the word communicate is defined even further for us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, Paul is talking to the Galatians and says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." So what Paul is telling them is, let him that is taught, okay, that would be anyone that's taught by the man of God or someone that's taught the Bible, the Word of God, the things of God, if they're being taught in the Word, the Word of God, communicate unto him that teacheth, in other words, who's ever doing the teaching, the ones that are receiving the teaching, he's saying, and should communicate unto that teacher in all good things. In other words, they should support the teacher, the preacher, and material things. Not only in support with your lips, but also with material goods, that he should be compensated, that you should communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So you should give him all good things. You should say nice things about him. You should raise him up in prayer and his family. And you should, materially support that teacher, that preacher. So, you see, communicate is used in the sense of talking back and forth, okay, or of helping out with material goods. The Philippians not only talked back and forth with Paul, they communicated with him, talking back and forth, but that communication also had to do with giving of material goods back and forth to Paul. It's interesting, the Philippians helped him when he left them, although none of the other groups did. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, Paul is talking to the believers at the church of Corinth, the Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8, he says, "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied in all things. I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, so will I keep myself." So what Paul is saying to the Corinthians is, okay, he said, "I robbed from other churches." What he's saying is, he didn't go into the safe and take the money out. He's not a stealer. But what he's saying is, the Corinthians weren't supporting him. They weren't supporting him for his work that he was doing with them at Corinth. He was getting the things that he needed to support him again from somewhere else. And again, we're told that's from the brethren of Macedonia. Case in point. We had a brother and his family here today. And they're dear and precious to us because they're Bible believers. They're rightly dividing the word of truth. But we know when you do that, a lot of other places are not doing that, and they're not going to want to support you. And it's a hard way to go, but if you're going to go God's way, that road's going to be rough. So the connection we want to make is, as they go and they minister to people that don't support them, amen, but we're going to support them, and we're going to see why we should support them as we get in later on. This is just a bit of an introduction. But we see Paul was able to minister to the people of Corinth because of the support he was receiving from Macedonia. Again, Philippi, the church at Philippi, which was made up of the Philippians, was that church that he was speaking about. You see, the church at Philippi knew the matter of missions is the lifeblood, as we have up on our sign there over the mission boards, is the lifeblood of every New Testament church. The Lord adds to our church because we are faithful. If you're faithful in supporting missions who are trying to, missionaries who are trying to start other churches and who are trying to build churches with the Lord's help, the Lord will add to our church as a result of we're being faithful in supporting others, missionaries who are trying to start other works. Our hearts should be challenged by the thoughts relating to the Great Commission and humble at the great responsibility before us. We should use the church at Philippi as an example in how we should approach missions and missions giving. You know, just as Paul gave the church, so we have one of the things about the church, the Philippian churches, we can say is they're a great example when it comes to missions. If we want to know what a Bible-believing church should do regarding missions, we can look at that church at Philippi in Macedonia as an example of what we should be doing. And Paul, as we go through the scriptures and we read, there are other churches that set other examples. For example, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, Paul talks about the Berean church. This isn't related to my message, but if you want to look at what we should be doing as a Bible-believing church as far as the scriptures and the study of the scriptures, Paul gives the Berean church as an example in Acts 17:11. I'll read it. It says, "These were more noble," talking about the believers at Berea, he said, "these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." So if we want to use an example as a church for Bible study as what we should be doing, the Berean church would that be that example. We should search the scriptures daily and receive the word in all readiness of mind. Just as when we're going to look at tonight, for an example of New Testament churches, what our example is for mission giving, it would be the Philippian church. This evening, what we're going to look at, we want to look at is quickly four reasons for supporting missions. Why should we support missions? Four reasons. Reasons for supporting missions, if you want to title this. Reasons for supporting missions. There's probably more than four, but here's four that I want to share with you. First of all, number one, it's God's way of furthering the cause of Jesus Christ. It's God's way of furthering the cause of Jesus Christ. In Matthew, we have what traditionally is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, verse 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So traditionally we have this Great Commission. We are to win souls. We are to send ambassadors to the outstretches of the world to teach people to win souls, teach them the things of the Lord, and scripturally baptize them, not for salvation, but as a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we also see, we're not just, see, the New Testament church, we take care of the local area around us. We're missionaries in some sense, because we're taking care of Bill Ricker and the surrounding communities to get the word out. And we know we've studied doctrinally the movement of the gospel in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We share that formula in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, doctrinally how the gospel would move away from the Jews and then eventually to the Gentiles. But we can spiritualize that passage tonight also, and it says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both number one in Jerusalem." Okay, so Jerusalem could represent your local town or area. And then we say, not only in Jerusalem, in all of Judea. Judea could picture your state, the state of Massachusetts. Okay, that region there. And then Samaria. Samaria could be the United States of America. And then it says, finally, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, all to the uttermost part of the earth, the rest of the world. You know, so where to get the gospel, not only locally in our town and our communities and our state in the United States of America, but we're also to get the word out also to the uttermost part of the world, to the rest of the earth, to the rest of the world. In Romans, turn to Romans chapter 10 with me. We want to see there the necessity of getting the gospel out in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, we have then, in Romans chapter 10, of course, we have Romans Road in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, now that's the message. That's the message that's to go forth, okay? It's interesting how it's laid out. That's the message that's to be carried. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now, look at what it says in verse 14 as we continue. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Reminds me, as I think quickly, reminds me of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he was having problems understanding. He was a religious man. He was coming back from Jerusalem, and he was reading the scriptures. And he didn't have a preacher. But the Holy Spirit of God called Philip to go. Arise and go. And he went. He was the preacher. He gave him the word. And then it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the reason that the necessity of getting the gospel out so people can hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. That's how faith came our way. Someone shared the word of God. The plan of salvation, that good news that we read in those earlier verses in Romans 10. Verse 9 and 10 and 11. 13 and following, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See that? In Acts chapter 10, I want to read something to you. Peter's come to Cornelius' house. What a fine day that is. And listen what it says. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you hear that? They heard the word and they were saved. Praise God. So we see then the necessity of getting the gospel out so people can hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then we see number one this evening, the reason, one of the reasons to support missions is it is God's way of furthering the cause of Christ, number one. Number two, we want to see it adds fruit to our account. It adds fruit to our account. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, where we were reading. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, Paul says, "Not because I desire a gift." In other words, he didn't want their money just so he could get a gift. You know, everybody likes to get gifts. He says, "That's not the reason that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." We have bank accounts. Most of us have bank accounts, probably not much in them, but we have bank accounts on this earth, but we also have spiritual bank accounts. We also have spiritual bank accounts. And scriptures tell us that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it says. So that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to give an account to God. And then we're also told, as we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, we're also told in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done," okay, done, works, "for our rewards." We work for our rewards, not for our salvation. But done is referring to works. And giving is one of our works. Giving the missions. And his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We have a spiritual account up in heaven. It's called, we have the different banks. We have the Shaman Bank, and we have the Bank of Boston, and this bank and that bank, but it's called the Bank of Heaven. There's a bank up in heaven, amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20 teaches us about spiritual banking. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. In verse 19, it begins in chapter 6 of Matthew, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth." Now, that would be your bank accounts here on earth. "Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and with these break through and steal." That's what's going to happen to your treasures laid up here. It'll collect dust and rust, and somebody will break in and steal it. If you've got anything in your home, someone wants it. There's someone out there that's going to try to break in and get it. But he says, don't do that. Lay not. But, he says, but, and he's saying you. He's talking to me. He's talking to you tonight. But, and the you is understand. "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." You as an individual have an account up in heaven. And you can lay treasures. You have a choice. The choice is yours. This is like you had a choice to be saved or not to be saved. You have a choice tonight before Almighty God whether to lay treasures up on this earth or up in heaven. Or up in heaven. In the same chapter of Matthew, we're given our priorities of how we should view or seek things. In verse 33 of Matthew 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And he's talking about the basic necessities in life, the food, shelter, and clothing before us. You know, we hear there's a lot of excuses that people use for not giving to missions. You know, for example, "I need money for the lawn service to take care of the lawn," or whatever it may be. You know, "I want my lawn to look nice." You know, while there are souls dying and going to hell in this world, you know, my lawn's more important than that. Or "I need that money for lottery tickets, and I promise if I hit the lottery big time, and then I'll give a chunk of that to the church and to the mission." Right, sure. "Or I need that money for cigarettes." I was just thinking today, I don't know what they go. Are they $3 a pack now? I think they're $3 a pack now or something. But can you imagine if someone gave up smoking, and say they only smoke, a lot of people smoke more than one pack a day, but if they gave up, they were a pack a day smoker, and that's $3 a day times 365, that's over $1,000 for missions. Can you imagine? So if you take that and you double that to two packs a day, that's over $2,000 that they could give to missions. Hopefully they're already tithing, praise God. They should be tithing. You know, the Bible, we've studied this too. The Bible talks about crowns being connected with rewards. And we know that one of these crowns that's talked about in the Bible is a soul winner's crown. It's called a crown of rejoicing for winning souls. Paul talks about this crown in a couple of places. First, he talks about it in chapter 4 of Philippians. In chapter 4 of Philippians, verse number 1, it's mentioned there. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." In other words, those people there, Philippians, that he had won to the Lord, were his crown, his joy, his crown of rejoicing. And then he also talks about it. Paul talks about this, excuse me, soul winner's crown in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 19 and 20, Paul says, "For what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." The people, the souls, again, that he's talking to the Thessalonians at Thessalonica, they were his crown, the ones that he had won. What we want to know is, too, a soul saved is fruit. A soul that is saved by another Christian, we know a fruit of a Christian is another Christian. So that's fruit. When you lead another person to Christ, you're bearing fruit. Each time a missionary that you support and I support wins a soul, it's fruit added to our account. Even though you didn't lead that person directly to the Lord, but indirectly, your giving, your offering that supports that missionary, wherever it may be, that leads that person to the Lord, that's fruit to your account. That's fruit to your account. So what we see then, the more missionaries that we're able to support, the more fruit it will abound to our account. To your account. Not only your individual account, because you individually give an offering, but as the church collectively. See, you know what's so great when we give collectively as a church as opposed to you? You know, you get a lot of these ministries that want an individual offering, okay? And it's coming directly to you. But see, when you give an offering, we collectively give an offering, okay? In other words, when the Webbers get their offering for the month, they don't get it from Gretchen individually or Robin or me individually or whoever gives the mission. They get that from Open Door Baptist Church collectively. The church here, the body of Christ, gets the honor and glory. No one individually does. Praise God for that. But see, as Paul was speaking, and he said that he didn't desire a gift. He wasn't desirous of a gift. He didn't like sitting under the bale bush, opening up presents and so forth and so on. He desired fruit that may abound to the Philippians account. And that's speaking to us right now. You know, when you get to heaven someday, people are going to be up there thanking you, supporting the missionaries, or a missionary that led them to the Lord, the reason they're there. They're going to thank you for that. Thank you for supporting the missionary. Thank you for, you know, faithfully giving. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have heard the word. We'll be rewarded up there with a crown of rejoicing. You know, we spend, if you think about it, most Christians today spend God's money foolishly on the foolish things. You know, people will be home, Christians will be home. We know the Christians watch TV, and they'll be watching those home shopping centers, and that's the worst thing you can do. Bingo. Oh, wow, look at that blender. I need a blender, even though I got a blender sitting up on the thing, but this has got 9 different blades, you know, whatever it may be, or they're going to, you know, I always make fun of it. You know, there's always an offer and they always throw in those Ginsu knives and you got to have a set of good Ginsu knives. You don't need that. What you have, but we spend things foolishly when we could be using, spending that money or offering that money for missions and having fruit to our account. To our account. So we see then, number two, the reason we should give to missions is it puts fruit in our account up in the bank of heaven. It's laying up treasures. That's what it's talking about, laying up treasures in heaven. Number three, giving to missions, we're going to see, is a spiritual sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Look at it, verse 18. Look at it, verse 18. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4, verse 18, Paul says, but I have all in abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, as believers, when you became a believer, you became a priest. No, you didn't become a Roman Catholic priest, praise God. Amen. But you became a priest. You became a spiritual priest. Over in the Epistle to Peter, in 1 Peter, in chapter 2, it talks about it, the priesthood. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, he's talking to believers, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house in holy priesthood. What's the reason? The reason is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then we're also called in the same chapter, in verse 9, but ye are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we see then, we're a holy priesthood. We're a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. And the reason for that is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we're a priest, royal priesthood, part of a real royal and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Also, over in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, in Hebrews chapter 13, we'll read in verses 15 and 16, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we see now in 15, he's talking about types of spiritual sacrifices. Okay? Because we're not, in the Old Testament, we know the Levitical priests would offer physical sacrifices. that would remit the sins of the people and bringing in lambs without blemish and so forth and so on. We don't do that, praise God, because the shed blood of Jesus Christ has our sins are forgiven totally. You know, there's a difference, just as a side note, there's a difference between having your sins remitted and having your sins forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Something that's remitted is only temporary. For example, if you go into the doctor and you've had cancer and he said your cancer is in remission, as opposed to going to the doctor and he says, buddy, your cancer is gone. I've given you a full bill of health. It's gone, period. My sins are gone. They're not remitted. They're gone. They're forgiven. They're nowhere to be seen. Amen. That's the difference between remission and forgiveness of sins. See, before the cross at Calvary of Jesus Christ, sins were remitted. But today, because of the shed blood, they're forgiven totally. They're forgiven totally. Getting back to my point here, in Matthew chapter 13, and then in verse 16, he says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we see then, in the context, the scriptures are talking about the types of spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. We've preached on this before. He talks about praise and thanksgiving, to do good and to communicate. See, there's that word communicate again. And we looked at that. And we saw what the Philippian church did with Paul. They gave material and supported his ministry. So then if we compared scripture with scripture, is what we're doing. Mission giving, which is a part of communicating, giving, talking back and forth, but not only in word, but in material support, mission giving is part of communicating, which is a spiritual sacrifice, which is well pleasing to God. Which is well pleasing to God. So we see then, we're priests, we're holy priests. As believers, we're part of a royal priesthood. The reason for that is to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God. And we see that one of those sacrifices that are well-pleasing, one of those spiritual sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God is communicating or giving, in missions giving. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Missions giving is a spiritual sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. That's what the scriptures say. I didn't invent that up tonight. We just took you through the scriptures to show you that. It's a spiritual sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Amen. We've looked at three things so far. Why we should give the missions. We looked at three things so far. It's the way God wanted us to further the cause of Jesus Christ, to get the gospel out. To get the gospel out, praise God. We see that. And then we see number two, we looked at it to bring fruit to our account, for the spiritual bank account up in heaven. Number three, we see to give the missions as a spiritual sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Let's look at the last thing tonight quickly. God's, number four, the reason we should give the missions giving, it's kind of selfish a reason, but God's blessing is connected with mission giving. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, there's no accidents with God. Why he put that, you know, we use that over and over again. We quote it, we've got it memorized. But there's no accidents with God, if you think about it, where it's placed in Scripture. He's just talked about, Paul has just talked about how the church at Philippi in Macedonia had communicated with him in the matters of receiving and giving material things to support him. See, what's connected with mission giving is God blesses us. God blesses us. It teaches that God blesses us when we give to missions. You know, some people will say, well, I can't give to missions because I won't be able to meet my own needs. But Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This verse, as I said, is often used to teach that God supplies the needs of his own, and we know that, that he supplies our needs. And of course, he does support his own people, the Christian, the believer's needs. But what is even more firmly taught here then is God will supply all the needs of the church that liberally support missions. Do you want the promise of God to apply to us, to our church? I know we're not very big here, and I know we can't support 100 missionaries. But there are souls world round that need the gospel. And we are the instruments God uses to preach the word, to get the word out. He promised blessings upon those who are mission minded. What more should we need to know? And all I challenge each and every one of us, including myself tonight, and maybe you're already doing this, don't take offense, but I've got to preach the whole counsel of God. Get before God. Maybe before we set aside some money for some more entertainment in our lives, that we should pray about it and put it before the Lord and ask him that we maybe should be setting this aside, putting more towards missions. Of course, we already know that we should be tithing, and missions is an offering above and beyond your tithe. You know, maybe there are things that we foolishly spend money on that we don't need, quite honestly, that we could look in the areas of our lives and say, hey, I can put that to missions. Case in point, the $3 a day for cigarette smoking, or whatever it may be, something that we do every day that we spend money on foolishly. You know, we don't realize how money adds up. A dollar a day on something, that's 365, you know. I could say, I don't know, I'm not preaching on anybody's sin, but I know people that read the Star magazine, newspapers or whatever it may be, you know, they go to the supermarket and they get their groceries and they pick that up and they throw it in. Hey, can you imagine if you took that change instead of, you know, you don't need that garbage to look at it, and took that money and put it towards mission? You know, I don't know what those papers are. I don't know, a buck a week or a buck and a half or whatever it may be, 75 cents. But still, if that went towards missions, you know, praise God. You know, there are just areas that we as Americans spend money foolishly on. And we're not putting any fruit in our account when it could be. You know, when it could be. You know, I think of even cable TV subscribers. You know, I'm not, what I'm just saying is, I know cable TV is various different places, $20 a month. Can you imagine if, hey, I don't need cable TV, rip that thing out. TV, I got TV enough, it's bad enough having cable. You know, $20 a month extra to go to missions or whatever it may be. But what I want us to see is very important tonight. We looked at four reasons why we should give the missions. It's God's number one. It's what he's shown us how to get the word out, to further the cause of Christ, to get the gospel out. Paul tells us to put fruit in our account, number two. We see that. We also see that giving to missions is a spiritual sacrifice well-pleasing to God. We want to please God. If you really want to please God, one of the ways, not only coming to church and reading and praying and so forth and so on, and living the life according to what he'd have you in that book, but giving to missions also. That's part of it. And then finally, we see that God's blessings to the church and to us individually are connected with it. There's no accidents with God. After Paul goes through that and he talks about how wonderful the Philippian church is at supporting him when no one else would. And he's saying to them, you know, keep on doing it. Don't worry about it. God's going to supply your needs. And I really believe, as we read the scriptures, that our needs being supported and supplied and met by God is in connection with how we meet the needs of our missionaries and how we support missions. So the purpose tonight is to challenge you, to challenge me, to challenge everybody, to everybody. I wish there were more people here tonight to hear this, but to challenge everybody to support missions and see in their hearts if they can come up with some more to support missions. You know, this year is part of our goal. I'd like to, you know, possibly number one, take on more missionaries, or possibly number two, increase the support of the existing missionaries. But the thing is, people have to, you know, it's okay, you know, sometimes people come and they'll throw something for missions, you know, once in a while. But see, what's got to happen is, that's got to be every week, every month, you know, that support is got to stay the same, because what you do is, if it comes and then it goes away, you know, you have to drop that missionary. It's got to be not a one-time thing, but a continuous thing. And I praise God. I don't want to forget. I praise God for what you're doing already. But I'm just saying, as I look at what's connected with mission giving and why we should do it and why we should